We are so close to the weekend. You are almost there. And with the long weekend, maybe you're thinking about what you're going to do with it. Well, if you ask Marty Fuller, she'll probably suggest going for a hike.
Just as soon as I walk out the door and just breathe the air, feel the breeze, I just feel more alive. I just feel at peace. I feel hopeful. I feel invigorated. I just need it. I just know that I need it.
Fuller, a nearly lifelong walker and hiker, is the star of a new documentary called Marty and the Whites, directed by her friend and fellow hiker, Paula Champagne. It aired at the Roxbury Film Festival this week and is available to stream in full for free online right now. In it, she explores her relationship to hiking as a Black woman and how she's working to encourage other Black and Indigenous people of color to find their way back to nature. Marty joins me in the studio right now. And Marty, I understand that your car is actually packed up, ready to go right now. You're heading out for a hike in Maine this weekend?
I am. And I will be hitting the road and anticipating some traffic. Thank you, Katie, for letting me know about my impending doom on the roads, perhaps. But I'm headed up to Baxter State Park in northern Maine to hike Mount Katahdin, which is the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail.
That sounds beautiful, and I'm a little jealous, actually. Well, thank you for making a pit stop with us. And I think one of the first questions I want to ask you is, what is your earliest memories of hiking and being outdoors? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I grew up in New York in kind of the suburbs, rural area, almost rural area. My parents are from Jamaica, and they're from a rural background. So we were always kind of outside walking and enjoying nature. But it wasn't until school hikes or church hikes that I would go on extended periods in the mountains. And my earliest memories of finding such joy in hiking are really simple ones. Going on a hike in the Southern Adirondacks that ended with a jump into a deep lake and just how satisfying that felt.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. Okay, well, that's a great memory in your youth, but why is this something that you've continued to do in your adulthood?
Wow, yeah. So I have almost haven't even had a need to articulate it because I just feel so myself when I'm outside, when I'm in nature, when I am listening to the wind blow through the leaves. And it's just been so important to my mental health, and it's been a way for me to just process my life and to spend time with folks and just kind of get away from, you know, the buzz of city life, which I've also felt I need. So it's just been a great kind of duality to live in.
Now, the film that you're in, Marty and the Whites, in that film, you talk about your relationship with hiking and how it started one way and then changed over time. First, here's a clip from that film where you talk about that shift.
There are a few times when there's been a behavior or action that's been so jarring that it's been painful. There have been sometimes, but those are few. And what is much more common is a number of small behaviors or words spoken or dynamics that add up and really detract from not just my experience, but my sense of self, and have made me feel like I'm shrinking.
So can you tell us a little bit more about this quote? How things have changed for you?
Sure. So just in case folks don't know, the title, Marty and the Whites, is a little bit of a double entendre, referring to the White Mountains of New Hampshire, where I've done most of my hiking over the last 20 years. And my experience is one of an identity journey, an identity formation over that time. And that is because as a Black woman, I was always, I can't even say almost always, but in those beginning years, I was always the only Black person. And I was usually the only person of color. And on the one hand, I really enjoyed being with my fellow outdoors people. They were very kind, and they shared knowledge. They taught me things. They shared their snacks. But at the same time, many of those folks were not aware of their I kind of like to phrase it as an unconscious commitment to the invisibility of whiteness. So they weren't aware of racial dynamics, of kind of some of more subtle layers of racism that can impact a person, especially when, as a Black woman, I'm spending extended amounts of time with them and we're committed together as a team. You know, we're out for a full day or maybe for several days backpacking. And there can be a number of not just specific microaggressions, which, you know, that occurred, but then also just dynamics that play out over time. And I, it added up, and I realized that I needed to spend more time with Black people and people of color out in nature and not just in a white community.
And why did you feel like it was important to have these experiences documented and have this film created?
Sure. So the filmmaker Paula Champagne and I believe, had two goals. One is to speak to other Black people and people of color in predominantly white institutions or spaces. And in this case, the predominantly white institution is outdoor culture or the hiking community, and say, we see you. We validate your experience. You're not alone. There are subtle things that happen, that are said, that might make you uncomfortable. Or just you're with folks who aren't sharing your day-to-day experience, and this is the weekend when you want to get away from, you know, the impacts of racism that we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis in our work or school or regular life, and you want that time to kind of reconstitute and remind yourself, wait, I am worthy, I am valuable, I am strong, I am beautiful, even though this world built on white supremacy sends me messages all the time that say that's not the case.
Well, and I want to play another clip from the film now, too, that relates to this. And it's when you're talking about Black communities reclaiming hiking and turning trauma into joy.
We need to reclaim the joy of being alone in the woods without the generational memory of atrocities that could happen to Black people in the woods. We also need to reclaim natural spaces, parks.
So I hear that you lead groups, and I think you mentioned it already on the program too, that you lead groups of other Black men and women, other people of color on hikes. So can you talk a little bit more about those experiences? What are your trips like?
Absolutely. So I do so informally, bringing friends and colleagues out into the mountains, but I also am a volunteer leader with a group called Outdoor Afro, which is a national organization with, I believe, 53 networks around the country. And so in Boston, I'm one of four volunteer leaders, and we organize all sorts of events. And the aim is to get folks connecting in nature and also leading in nature. And this could be anything from bird watching or nature journaling to ice climbing. These are all activities that we have done in the last year. And so when I gather with those folks, and I join the group first as a member just to be in community, not necessarily because I needed the opportunities to access these activities, because I already had built that up. I needed the community of other Black folks. And I have found that when we're all out together, you know, at the end of the event, we're saying things like, wow, I didn't even know I needed this.
So you've said before, too, that hiking is a form of resistance. Can you dive into that a little bit more and what that means?
Gosh, so I believe when I said that, I was, you know, talking about being free in my Black identity in the hiking world and the hiking community, where I may implicitly be asked to kind of conform to the norms of the culture that exists, that has essentially been built up by a majority white community. And instead, I'm coming in and I'm bringing my own way of expressing who I am in that space, my own way of interacting with the land that may be different, and my own way of kind of our own way, along with other Black people and other people of color, of engaging in that activity.
Okay. And so going back to the name of the film, Marty and the Whites, It's talking about your love of the White Mountains. You're there quite a bit, but you're going not to the White Mountains this weekend. You're going up to Maine. So are you primarily going to the White Mountains? What's your usual sort of like stomping grounds maybe?
Yeah, so I love the entire region from the west kind of Franconia Ridge area all the way to the eastern side, which is into Maine. I'm often up in the North Conway area, but I try to kind of get around and experience some of the more off the beaten path hikes and climbs and, you know, finding lakes and ponds. So, yeah, I'm everywhere.
Well, what about the landscape? I guess, what's your favorite part? What do you like to see? What gives you joy when you're out there?
Yeah, so I love that we have some beautiful above tree line stretches in the White Mountains, which is unique to East Coast hiking. I love getting up and having expansive views, but I also just love how green and how varied our forests are in New Hampshire.
I know one of my favorite things is to hear the sound of the rustling leaves. It's just one of the most relaxing things you can get.
Yes, exactly. I've been trying to be more present to some of the smaller, simpler beauties, like noticing mushrooms and noticing, you know, alpine flowers. And so, yes, completely agree with you on that.
All right. And you did bring some hiking recommendations with you, I hear. So do you mind taking a second to share some of those?
I would love to share. So I would absolutely recommend a couple local hikes and then a few hikes in the White Mountains if folks are able to make the 2-hour to 3-hour trek up there. Locally, I just love Breakheart Reservation, which is in Saugus and Wakefield, and just beautiful forested area, two large lakes, runs along the Saugus River. Most of the hiking is fairly easy, and there's a little bit of moderate climbing. The Breakheart Reservation Trail is 2-mile flat loop, which I'd recommend, and then you can ascend Breakheart Hill for views of Boston. I live in Dorchester near Blue Hills. I go there once a week.
I was hoping you'd mention that.
Yes, just love the one of the things I love about the Blue Hills is that it's a really diverse environment because there are so many Black people and people of color who live in Dorchester, Mattapan, Randolph, and the surrounding areas. So you'll see a diversity of people. I love hiking to Great Blue Hill and also going up the ski hill as a workout. Everyone encourages you and kind of encourage you to kind of reach the summit. It's kind of a community. In the White Mountains, Arethusa Falls and Ripley Falls and Crawford Notch, beautiful, easy hike to two of the tallest waterfalls in New Hampshire. I'd also recommend Greeley Ponds on the west side near Waterville Valley. And then two moderate hikes that are my favorite are the Sugar Loaves near Twin Mountain, which 3.5 miles and 1,000 feet of elevation gain get you to some beautiful views. You can also cut that in half and just do one. And then finally, where Marty and the Whites was filmed, Mount Crawford, which is about a 5.5 mile hike with 2,000 feet of elevation gain, and just stunning.
So something for everyone there, it sounds like. We are going to have all of those recommendations on our website, in case you didn't write that down. That's Marty Fuller, lifelong hiker and star of the documentary Marty and the Whites. You can watch the film in full at paulachampagne.com. Marty, thank you for joining us, and safe travels today.
Thank you, Carrie.